A reading from Psalm 145. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Following his instructions for how the head of the family should teach his household to pray morning and evening, Martin Luther turns to how the head of the family should teach his household to ask a blessing and return thanks. There is, in Luther's instruction concerning daily prayer, a very practical side. The brief prayers he provides don't launch some sort of an artificial pattern requiring careful attention to the time of the day or day of the week. Everyone sleeps. Everyone awakens. Everyone eats. It's in connection with these regular daily events that Luther teaches us to call upon our Heavenly Father. And it's these events that become subjects for our prayers. At the beginning of the day, we thank God for his care through the night and request his guidance and blessing for the day. In the evening, we give thanks for his care through the day, pray for his forgiveness, and request that he would guard us through the night. When we sit down to eat, we acknowledge that God is the one who supplies our food and request his blessing. When the meal has ended, we thank God for his gifts to us. By repeating the Apostles' Creed morning and evening, we remember what God has done, and we praise him by speaking it. And in the morning and evening, and at meals, we pray the prayer our Lord taught those who trusted in him. Having learned from Jesus how to pray, what to say, we pray for those things Jesus knows we need and wants us to have. Before we consider tonight's text and the words Luther provides for us to pray in asking a blessing before we eat, it's worth considering briefly some of our other readings this evening. We heard from 1 Corinthians 10, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." I remember coming across this verse in my youth and wondering precisely how I could eat and drink to the glory of God. It turns out the answer is relatively simple. St. Paul explains it in the fourth chapter of his first letter to Timothy. Everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Do you want your eating and your drinking to give glory to God? Then receive what is placed before you with thanksgiving and consecrate it with his word and prayer. It's perhaps worth noting or worth sharing that shortly after writing the preceding, I decided to wash my hands again. Following advice that I had shared previously, I sang the common doxology as I washed them, knowing that it takes me about 25 to 30 seconds to sing that doxology. As I was drying my hands afterwards, I realized that without planning to, I had just washed my hands for the glory of God. The reading from the eighth chapter of Mark's Gospel reminds us that in praying before we eat, we are following a traditional practice of God's people from of old, a practice Jesus himself sanctified and blessed by following it. We read that before he had his disciples distribute food to the people, he took the 7 loaves and a few small fish and gave thanks for them. And this is far from a unique circumstance. Again and again in the Gospels, we hear that Jesus took bread or fish or the cup and gave thanks before sharing it. In following the pattern Luther presents to us, We are following the example of our Lord and the will of the Father to receive our meal with thanksgiving and ask his blessing. Luther instructs that the children and members of the household shall go to the table reverently, fold their hands, and say, "The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing." Calling for reverence and folded hands is a way of disciplining our bodies, becoming focused on an important thing that is about to happen. The words Luther gives us to say from Psalm 145 are addressed to the Lord, the God who made a covenant with Abraham, who delivered a throng of people from slavery in Egypt, who made them his own with a covenant at Sinai, who finally brought them into the promised land. This is the Lord, merciful and gracious, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. In these words of the psalm, we confess that God provides food for all creatures, satisfying their desires by opening his hand and graciously showering them with all that they need to support this body and life. God is the great giver. As they're organized by Luther, these verses of Psalm 145 serve as the rationale for the request for blessing that follows. Because the Lord is universally and graciously providing food for his creatures, we can be confident that when we pray to him for these things, he will open his hand to us as well. Then shall be said the Lord's Prayer, Luther instructs. The fourth petition of the prayer asks for daily bread. Luther explains this to mean God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread, that is, everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, to receive it with thanksgiving. But by including the Lord's Prayer again here, we are also reminded of the other needs that we and our neighbors have. The needs for a place in God's kingdom, for salvation, for forgiveness, for protection in temptation, and rescue from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. I'm almost tempted to suggest that Luther would have us pray our Lord's Prayer morning and evening, and before and after every meal, so that almost in spite of ourselves, by praying this prayer at least 8 times a day, we would learn by constant repetition what it truly means to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. There's an old saying in the church, lex orandi, lex credendi, which is literally the law of praying is the law of believing. That is to say, your prayers shape and reveal what you believe. The prayer our Lord Jesus gave us is certainly valuable in teaching us not only what to pray, but what to expect from God, what he has promised us, what he wants for us, and what he would have us trust him to provide. Finally, Luther concludes his prayer asking a blessing with the petition, "Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bountiful goodness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." Addressing God as our loving Father, we ask him to bless the gifts that we've confessed he gives to us, the food on the table before us. But even before that, it's a prayer to bless us. You have given us body and life and all that we have, Heavenly Father, we are acknowledging. Bless us now. Be gracious and merciful to us. Grant us to live as your loving children and to please you. We continue the prayer then, confessing that all that God gives us, we receive from his bountiful goodness. Our Father isn't in any way stingy in providing for us. That was the first temptation that Satan brought to Eve. God's holding out on you, Eve. He doesn't want you to have this knowledge, doesn't want you to be like him. But all that God gives is given generously and bountifully. All that he gives comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is, because Jesus took on our flesh, joined us as a human being, lived a life of perfect holiness and obedience, despite facing all of the temptations that we face, and then willingly gave himself to be the propitiation, that is, the all-sufficient atoning sacrifice for all of your sin and mine. With this blessing, then, we are pointed to the one who is our shield and fortress, our only help in time of trouble, but at every other time as well. The one who provides us with all that we need for this body and life, but more than that, who is watchful, guarding and protecting us, especially against all that could lead us into doubt or false belief, all that could cause us to wander from the faith and lose his precious gift of forgiveness and eternal salvation. So we pray, and we trust, and we wait for the deliverance from this valley of the shadow of death into the eternal daylight of paradise, confident that come what may, the Lord who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God has saved you. You are his in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Ron. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.